Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome at Upstate. It is a Tuesday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. We are live here at Smoke on the Water in downtown Greenville. Hope all of y'all are having a good day as we will be getting prepared for some rain here tomorrow and Thursday here in the Upstate. Diesel, I'm going to go ahead and go on record and say we're going to see more rain here tomorrow and Thursday than we did out of Florence, even though we were warned about it for, what, 2 weeks before it ever got here. But again, Michael is out there in the Gulf of Mexico. It is now up to 110 mile an hour winds and expected to get stronger, and it's moving fast, the total opposite of the previous, and it looks like it may be coming right up through the state of South Carolina. So be paying attention there, expecting wind and rain. And you know, the one good thing that will come out of it, Diesel, in one weekend or a couple of days, hopefully all the remaining pecans that hang over our house, there's a bam, bam, bam. You get one good storm in. Sounds like you're being attacked by a video game from back in the day. Well, it started here in the last few days, so let's get them all down at one time. All right, a couple of things about the show today. At 5:20, we're going to give you our Dixie Vodka Deep Dive segment this week, obviously on Texas A&M, as they are coming over to take on the Gamecocks in a 3:30 kickoff on Saturday on the SEC Network. We will. I talked earlier today with our buddy Sam Kahn Jr. from ESPN.com. He covers Texas A&M and everything out there for ESPN. So, again, that will come up at 5:20 at 6 o'clock, 6:03. We'll talk with our buddy Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Dabo Swinney met with the media today. Again, the Tigers are off this week, but they're probably going to get their stiffest challenge of the season next week as 20th-ranked and undefeated NC State comes in for a 3:30 kickoff on ABC. It is homecoming down in Clemson as well. Also, real quickly, don't forget Friday night right here on ESPN Upstate. It is our first Greenville Swamp Rabbits broadcast as they will host a Toledo Walleye. Go ahead and go to ESPNUpstate.com. Get your tickets, GreenvilleSwampRabbits.com. You can get your tickets. You can choose the section that you want to be in and be part of history. We're going to try to make a record crowd there Friday night for an ECHL game. But you can hear the broadcast right here on ESPN Upstate. I'll be doing it with Jordan Coons, the play-by-play for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. I'll be on color, and we are going to have some fun with it. All right. College football today. We're going to get into first half winners and losers as we are at the halfway point, six games in, five for South Carolina as they have not had that makeup game that they lost to Marshall earlier this year. But we'll talk first half winners and losers of the college football season. Also, later on, Diesel, a really cool story, funny story, if you will, about what the University of Hawaii just went through to protect their quarterback ahead of a game this past weekend. So that brought up to me, what are some of the best pranks in college athletics? So I looked them up. We got some great stories for you. Also, NFL standings update. Now that the week is complete, is the New Orleans Saints extremely impressive last night. 43-19 over the Washington Redskins. And Drew Brees sets an all-time yardage record in the NFL, throwing the ball, and he did it on a 62-yard touchdown pass. I mean, could it have been more apropos as he takes over and now number one on that yardage list with the NFL. The one he didn't get was, what, the 500 touchdown pass. That will be coming up here. But they remain a half game ahead to the Saints. a half game ahead of the Carolina Panthers, who are 3-1 after that 33-31 win over the New York Giants on Sunday, in which Graham Gano still can't believe how far he kicked that football. A 63-yarder to win the game. So, again, a lot of different things that we'll get into today, including the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Braves season came to an end last night, 6-2. You know, I made the comment yesterday. I felt full. Well, it was a good thing because the season came to an end last night, but not without one more little giddy up in the step. I mean, Duda in the bottom of the eighth inning, he lifts a one out that probably wasn't more than 4 or 5 feet from being a three-run homer, which would have cut the deficit from 6-2 to 6-5. And, you know, you don't know at that point. You know, it was fun to watch SunTrust Park down in Atlanta hopping again yesterday in early evening as the tomahawk chop was out and the foam tomahawks were out there waving, and I would have loved to have been part of it. But it was just great to see Major League Baseball playoffs back in Atlanta for the first time in 5 years. Now it's a question of what the Braves are going to do moving forward, as they are thought to have a lot of money to go spend on one premier player, I think one premier pitcher, and try to get some guys that know how to throw strikes when it comes out of the bullpen. So, again, just a few tweaks, add some things, and this may be a team primed to make a run, but you got to give the L.A. Dodgers a lot of credit, the experience, the talent, and they just did what they were supposed to do. And if you give them a little crease, they take advantage of it. You know, the two-run hit that actually cost the Braves a lead when they were down 2-1. Had Dansby Swanson been in the series, it at least gets knocked down, if nothing else, and only one run gets in. But no doubt the L.A. Dodgers were the better of the two teams. And now that ought to set up a really good series when it comes to the National League Championship Series with L.A. and the Milwaukee Brewers. Both of those teams closed out the regular season really, really hot. That will get started. Also, last night, if you could stomach it as a New York Yankees fan, it was 16-1 before the Boston Red Sox decided that was enough. No mas. 16-1, they beat the Yankees. Now they take a 2-1 lead in that National League Divisional Series. In game number 4 tonight, you can see it on TBS. 8:07, Boston at the New York Yankees. With a win, Boston would move on to face the Houston Astros. Astros very impressive as they swept out Cleveland 11-3 yesterday. So get you a little update on the Major League Baseball playoffs, and we can talk about that later on as well. But Diesel, can you feel it in the air, baby? It is October 9th. No, we're not talking about fall for Greenville this weekend. No, we're not talking about the Swamp Rabbits opener on Friday night. We are talking about App State football. Tuesday night college football. It is back. We have waited patiently for it. And the first star is your App State Mountaineers. Is tonight they're going to be hosting the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
No, we don't host them. We travel to Arkansas State.
Oh, you're on the road.
Yeah, the game is in Jonesboro, and 8 o'clock kickoff. I don't like Tuesday night kickoffs. I really don't. I don't like a league, any league, and it's the G5 leagues. It's the Sun Belt. It's the MAC. It's those kind of leagues who sell out their fan bases for TV exposure. It's, well, we don't really need to. We'd rather put this game on television and get the TV eyeballs than let you guys sell 30,000 tickets to your home stadium so that you can reap the money, especially when, you know, TV revenue is nothing for most schools. I don't like it. I mean, I get that it's national TV exposure. It's the only college football game on tonight. I get that it's some primetime exposure, some primetime viewing for the AP voters. Hopefully, they will do their jobs and actually watch college football and not be stuck to Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, we'll be watching college football later on tonight. And listen, Good publicity for App State if you don't have to give up a home game in doing it. So that makes me feel better about things. But are you ready for me to tell you where you can go? We can get online tonight and we can make your hotel reservations for a bowl game for App State, because USA Today, they've got their updated bowl projections, and I thought you'd be pretty happy with what they've got ahead for App State.
Tell me.
They've got App State versus North Texas in the New Orleans Bowl.
Nope, don't like it. Don't care. Don't want another Conference USA opponent. Don't want another no-name opponent. You know, we keep smoking people in bowl games. It's time to give us a little something better.
All right, well, that would be the best of what I saw out there. They had Georgia Southern going somewhere out in Arizona, I think, to take on somebody. And, of course, I don't think y'all want to go back to Montgomery. So at least it'd be fun to be on Bourbon Street, a week before Christmas. So could be worse. A nice location. Wouldn't be a bad matchup, but I get it. App State looking for bigger and better things after three consecutive wins in bowl games for the Mountaineers. But when we come back, we'll start off by giving you the key word for the 4 p.m. hour in our free cash stash by WeFixMoney.com. If you're in the need of emergency cash, just hit them up at WeFixMoney.com. We'll open up the phone lines, and we're going to get into we're going to flip it a little bit after I got here, Diesel. What we're going to get into, the University of Hawaii. You know, in this day and age, Diesel, it's hard to keep things secret. You know what I mean? You've got social media. You got eyeballs everywhere. People want to report things first. You know what? Coaches don't like that, because if they've got something that they don't want the opponent to know, then they may go to great lengths to protect it. When we come back, Diesel, I want your opinion on if what the University of Hawaii did ahead of their 7-14 win with the University of Wyoming this past weekend, whether it was legit and a smart move or whether it was taking something too far. But it also brings up some of the best pranks in college football and college sports. If you have one, we'd love to hear it, especially, you know, we think about the big Thursday game that erupted in a brawl between Clemson and South Carolina when the Sigma Nu fraternity came out on the field for warm-ups dressed up as the Clemson Tigers, and, of course, the rest is history. So we'll get in a lot with that. And, again, at 5:20, it's our Dixie Vodka deep dive on Texas A&M with Sam Kahn Jr., and Gary McDaniel from Clemson Sports News at 6:03 is Straight Up with Sturge. We are live here at Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville. We'll get into some of that, but first, Frank Martin and the North Carolina Tar Heel basketball team, they're upset with the NCAA. Do they have a right to be? All right, welcome back in. We are live here at Smoke on the Water in downtown Greenville. Hope all of you are having a great day. So, Diesel, with the elimination of the Atlanta Braves 6-2 to the L.A. Dodgers, check out what happened on Columbus Day. Tell me what the odds are of this. The Atlanta Braves, they are eliminated by the L.A. Dodgers. The Cleveland Indians are eliminated by the Houston Astros. And the Washington Redskins got absolutely mauled by the New Orleans Saints. So the Braves, Indians, and the Redskins all lose on Columbus Day.
Wow, what a coincidence.
I mean, you know, for somebody, that to me was just a little bit ironic. There, the Indian nicknames have survived in Major League Athletics, and they all go down on the same day, ironically enough, Columbus Day. I'd love to know what the odds on something like that were, but of course.
At least Florida State won this past week, right?
Yeah. But, of course, they're college, so. But, yeah, you still got some college, you know, names out there. But I just thought, you know, professionally, all three of them losing on the same day, and it just happened to be Columbus Day. I mean, the odds on that had to be pretty slim to nil, but pretty fascinating in its own right. Now, when it comes to the Gamecocks, we posed the question yesterday, what do you do this Saturday at 3:30 when the Texas A&M Aggies come to town? And don't forget, in roughly an hour, you're going to hear our Dixie Vodka deep dive with Sam Kahn Jr. that covers Texas A&M. But, you know, coming back in the rain this past Saturday, how they did in that 37-35 win, I made the statement yesterday, I would ride Michael Scarnecchia until you had to put Jacob Bentley back in. A la, I thought Diesel did a great job in comparison, kind of what we saw with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. You knew Ryan Fitzpatrick was not likely to play that well for a long, long time, but why not ride the hot hand? I think I would make that same decision with Michael Scarnecchia. However, it's not what Will Muschamp had to say earlier today. If Jacob Bentley is healthy enough to start on Saturday, it's his job. And he said just due to the experience factor. He said they're basically the same skill set and all, but due to the experience factor. Well, I don't know if I completely and totally buy that, because there's no way for Scarnecchia to be more experienced if you don't get him more snaps. But the one thing that I liked out of Michael Scarnecchia on Saturday was the decision-making. 3 touchdowns versus 0 interceptions. Jake Bentley went into that game, 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So, you know, I understand, you know, a lot of coaches go, dude, you're not going to lose your job due to an injury. But this may be one time where, like Jacob Eason lost his job at Georgia last year, that you maybe just ride the hot hand. Now, don't have any ill wishes toward Jake Bentley, but let's be honest, in big games, he has started off a little bit slow. Well, guess what? You got another big game on Saturday. 3-3 is not where you want to be after 6 games, not knowing if you're going to get that 12th game back or not due to what happened with Hurricane Florence. So it's a big game. So that's why I said I'd ride Scarnecchia, but you know what? I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express a couple of weeks ago, so I guess that a lot. But I don't think you can go wrong, but I know what? It's created an interesting conversation amongst my South Carolina brethren, if you will. Some are on board with the decision if it happens. Others aren't. Again, I would have milked it and not made any type of statement about who it was and let Texas A&M kind of wonder. However, yeah, they both, as Coach Muschamp said, they bring the same similar skill set to the equation, just a lot more experience when it comes to the number of games that Jacob Bentley has played versus the number of games that Michael Scarnecchia has played. So, you know, we'll see how that bodes. That's a 3:30 kickoff on the SEC Network on Saturday, and it's a team in Texas A&M. They've only lost games to, quite frankly, who they're supposed to, and that is Clemson in week number 2. They could have won that game against the Tigers, and, of course, they've given Alabama the sternest test, if that's what you want to call it, so far this year. So, we'll see. It's a big ball game. Next one up for the Gamecocks, no doubt about it. But we were getting to the USA Today Bowl pairings, Diesel. You kind of turned your nose up to a trip to New Orleans, and more for the opponent rather than the location. But just in case you are looking in to that crystal ball at this point, as a South Carolina or a Clemson fan, here's what USA Today is projecting when it comes to a bowl appearance. South Carolina versus Boston College in the Belt Bowl in Charlotte. You buying that, Diesel?
Yeah, I'm buying that one. It's a good matchup.
Yeah, I am too. I think that'd be a good matchup. Of course, A.J. Dillon, the running back for Boston College, it's a program that continues to get better. And by finding your way into the Belt Bowl, that means you've won some games on the backside of the season if you're the Carolina Gamecocks. So they've got South Carolina and BC in the Belt Bowl. All right, for Clemson, they have them taking on Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. Does Notre Dame want to go back to that building? Because it was a beatdown that they took at the hands of Alabama in a championship game back in the day. But, of course, they like to be back in the college football playoff. Now, they have Alabama number 1, Ohio State number 4, taking on the winner of Clemson, the number 2 seed, versus Notre Dame, the number 3 seed. And they have matched up in the finals, Clemson and Alabama, for part 4. So, it just gives you an idea of what some people are thinking about right now, because, You know, Clemson's still getting a lot of play here, despite the fact they've got all freshman quarterbacks on the roster, Diesel. And my question is, why do you think that's the case? I mean, number one, I think it's a question of just how many wins that they've racked up. They're 46-4 in their last 50 games. That's a winning percentage of 92%. Is that why you give them the benefit of the doubt right now? Or is it the fact that Dabo Swinney keeps saying, our best football is still ahead of us? Because if you're a Clemson fan, here's what you've got left. All right, you're off this week. So is NC State, the 20th-ranked team in the country. Then it gets back into that road home. You have NC State on October 20th. On October 27th, you're at Florida State. Not sure how much fight left in that team now that they're 3-3 on the year. You come home on November 3rd for a Louisville team that is in complete disarray. As a matter of fact, one of the Board of Trustees members came out earlier today saying even if they wanted to get rid of Bobby Petrino, they are in no financial position in which to do so. The tricky trip, if you will, that's left, because there's only two road trips left for the Clemson Tigers this year, at Boston College on November 10th. Then you come home, you face Duke on November 17th, and you close out the year at home against the South Carolina Gamecocks. So, again, that's what's left on the table for the Clemson Tigers. And I think it's the fact that they win games, and there's some teams on that back end that traditionally, quite frankly, aren't as good as they've been in years past. So, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. All right, one last thing. The NCAA, they love to give the hammer on dumb things when it comes to universities. They aren't paying any attention. Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, not even bothering to show up for this trial that's going on that could corrupt college basketball for quite some time. But when college basketball is getting a black eye, God forbid you do something good. And Roy Williams and Frank Martin tried to put a hurricane game together to benefit the people down in the coast. Well, the NCAA stepped up and said no. Now, it's because you can only get, you can only have two exhibition games. There's a whole bunch of not-so-secret exhibition games going on, including some of the best are Villanova, Virginia, North Carolina, and Villanova. I mean, some of them are playing neutral site locations. Of course, Clemson went ahead and scheduled their second with a with UNC Wilmington. What the NCAA said they could do is drop one of the exhibitions they already had scheduled to do this. But God forbid a couple of schools come together when the game of college basketball is being dragged through the mud in a court case with Adidas, with Brian Bowen admitting that he was driving around an $80,000 car, that he had pimped out his son to the highest bidder, that he would take their food stamps and go resell them. And here, that's what college basketball, but you can't get North Carolina and South Carolina together when Michael Jordan's going to donate the arena in downtown Charlotte to raise money. And they weren't the only hurricane game. There were other schools that wanted to do the same thing. Nope, the NCAA would not allow that to happen. But, of course, Mark Emmert, nowhere to be found when that trial is going on up there. So, God forbid you bring in good publicity to college basketball right now, because we wouldn't want to do that, Diesel. That would just inherently give these other programs a definite advantage heading in to next month in the start of the season. I mean, that is the NCAA at its finest, no doubt. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines at 844-GSP-ESPN. The University of Hawaii, they went to extreme lengths this past weekend to protect some secrets within their program. Is it good coaching, or is it going too far, or what's going to happen next? And you know what? Brought up, what are some of the best pranks when it comes to college athletics? 844-GSP-ESPN. We are live at Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville. By the way, if you did not know, it's National pizza and beer day. So if you can't make it down here to smoke on the water, we'll forgive you if you make sure you go out and get a big pizza and a nice cold beer. But Jimmy wants to talk Panthers, who are a half game behind the New Orleans Saints with their 43-19 win last night. Jimmy, hope you're having a good afternoon.
Good. How about y'all?
Man, not too bad. It's Tuesday. You got the weekend off in App State football on tonight. I can't wait to see Diesel get tweaked about 9 o'clock.
Appalachian State on Tuesday night.
Yep.
That's weird. All right.
Going yeah, to the you're Panthers. Telling me, Jimmy. I don't like it. I don't like it either.
Yeah. So the Panthers, we have a lot of concerns. The defense is not playing real well. Let's hope when Thomas Davis comes back, that'll take
yes.
care of some of our defensive problems because he's coming back this week. I really think we should have given up a couple of first-round picks, either this last year or future number one pick to get Saquon Barkley because the guy is special. He showed us that yesterday or showed us that on Sunday. So then the other thing is that kick by Graham Gano. Man, unbelievable. I was like, there's no way he's going to hit a 63-yarder. And then from my vantage point, it looked like it hit the crossbar, but it didn't. And then the the referee said it was good. And I'm like, man, unbelievable. I mean, I think there's only like four other kickers that hit at 63 yards. And I think Matt Prater is the only one with a 64-yarder. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many of those were a game-winning, no time left on the clock field goal. I'm sure y'all don't know, but
how old are you, Jimmy? I don't really want you know if you don't want to share personal info.
I'm
57. All right, so do you remember the kicker for the New Orleans Saints, Tom Benson? I think it was that had the original 60-yard field goal, and he had the club foot in the shoe and everything. And we didn't see that 60-yard barrier crack for a long, long time, and now it's kind of become like a 300-yard drive.
Yeah, I think his name was Tom Dempsey.
Tom Dempsey, that's it.
I don't know if it was the Saints or the Eagles that he was kicking for at the time. It was the Saints, okay.
Yep.
But, yeah, I remember that kick. But, yeah, that was special, man. I mean, he kicked from the 47-yard line, and the goalpost was set back in the back of the end zone. And then you got, the pressure of, losing the game on your mind. That was just an incredible kick by Gamelle. And then they used their seventh-round pick to pick a field goal kicker because they weren't happy with what he'd done previous to this year.
But
so
you
it's
know
kind
what?
Of ironic that he
Jimmy,
did that.
You're a Gamecock football fan. Graham Gano, when he got a little bit of competition there in the training camp last year, he turned it on even more. That's why I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that Michael Scarnecchia can chomp at the heels of Jake Bentley a little bit because, your attention to details that much better when you feel like your job's at stake a little bit. And I think it can work the same way for South Carolina at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Scarnecchia. He was like Cool Hand Luke in that game. Man, he was throwing some sharp, crisp passes. He didn't panic. He stayed in the pocket, threw some beautiful passes. I was really impressed with Scarnecchia. And, if Jake doesn't come back and show some improvement, Scarnecchia could be a quarterback controversy at South Carolina.
All right, final question for you that I have. What do the Panthers have to do to keep pace with the New Orleans Saints? Because it was very apparent to me Mark Ingram was ready to play football last night after sitting out the first four games of the year. Christian McCaffrey has been surprising at times at running back. But do the Panthers, can you keep pace with New Orleans, or you just worry about what you do and hope that's good enough to get you in the playoffs later on?
Well, I think the Panthers can, but they've got, hopefully Thomas Davis, when he comes back, our defense is going to improve, which I think it will. And I think it was a mistake signing C.J. Anderson. He looks very overweight to me. He hasn't impressed me so far. So I don't know if there's anybody out there that I don't know why they haven't been using Cameron Artis Payne. Is he injured or do y'all know?
I don't know. It looks to me like he might be a little bit on the big side right now. But, Jimmy, thanks for the phone call. Great call, and I appreciate it. Because, you know, that's the thing. I looked at it last night, Diesel, and, you know, what a great evening. First of all, I want to give Peyton Manning a bunch of props as well, because the guy needs to be in the broadcast booth. I think it was a very unfair situation in which the NFL and ESPN put Jason Witten in the Monday night broadcast booth right off of coming off the field. I mean, listen, it takes time to learn how to be an announcer as well. Somehow, some way, get Peyton in there. But I don't know if you saw, Diesel, because you're working really hard. Might as well give you a plug. You're giving away Metallica tickets this week on your show, correct?
Yeah, every night this week and next week at 9:15, I'm giving away Metallica tickets.
All right, so did you see how Peyton Manning congratulated Drew Brees for breaking his all-time passing yardage record last night?
No, I didn't see that. I was in the studio watching as Drew was out celebrating on the field, but I didn't see what Peyton had to say about it.
So he knew it was coming, so they've got Peyton kind of like in a kitchen, and he's cutting up fruit for a fruit salad. And he's like more or less resigned to the fact that this is what his life has become. and he wasn't overly happy about it. You know, and it was about a minute and 15 seconds. And, of course, the last 30 seconds of it were nothing but congratulations for what Drew Brees has done in his career. But that first 40 to 45 seconds was really self-deprecating.
I'm surprised they didn't have Hello Darkness, My Old Friend playing in the background.
Yeah, but, you know, he's got like apron, you know, and here he is just cutting up fruit, and you could tell, like, oh wow, this is what my life is now, Drew. I'm jealous, you know, you're still playing football. But it was absolutely, that's what we love about Peyton Manning. You know, as good as he was, he's also got that sense of humor as well. So he will go down, whether you like Tennessee or not, he will go down as one of my all-time favorites. And you know, that's why I hope he finds himself back in the game at some point, whether as a coach or a general manager or even the athletic director at the University of Tennessee. We'd all be better off for it. 844-GSP-ESPN. You can give us your thoughts on last night's Monday night matchup, because, listen, the Washington Redskins, you got defensive problems, no doubt about it, moving forward. But it does. It looks like Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, they can dial up points pretty much whenever they want. So one of the surprise college football teams of the season so far, Diesel, has to be the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, because, you know, a couple of years ago, as they struggled again after the June Jones era, in which, if you remember, they actually got smoked by Georgia, but they did make it to a Sugar Bowl one time with Tommy Chang, I believe, was the name of that quarterback. But Hawaii is back to 6-1. After knocking off Wyoming this past Saturday night, now they've already earned bowl eligibility. And you know that they're the only team out there that has a bowl bid guaranteed to them just by reaching six games. Now maybe they can get up higher than staying home for the Hawaii Bowl, but they are now bowl eligible. But let me ask you, I mean, coaches are secretive for a reason. There is a reason that they close off practice. There's a reason that there are, if there aren't tarps up on the fence, it's walled off to where you just can't see in. At various universities across the Southeast, there are now apartment-style buildings that look down into the practice facility. And apparently in Tuscaloosa, where that is the case, the people that live there have to sign some kind of disclosure that they're not going to film practice and put it out on YouTube. I mean, it's a pretty secretive situation when college football teams and head coaches are trying to protect what they don't want other people to know about. I mean, that's fair. But did Hawaii take it a little too far when it came to their starting quarterback, Cole McDonald, this past weekend? Because McDonald did not play at all due to an undisclosed injury. But during pregame warmups, you look out there and who's running around the field during the first set of pregame warmups but number 13 himself? But there turns out to be one problem with it. It wasn't Cole McDonald. It was just somebody out there going through warm-ups in his jersey so Wyoming would not be aware that Cole McDonald would not be playing in the game. Now, Nick Rolovich, that's using the decoy, no doubt about it, if you're the Hawaii head coach. But is that brilliant, or is that taking it too far in putting out somebody in your starting quarterback's jersey that's not him, just so the opponent won't know that he's hurt and out for the game?
That's the definition of fake news, Sturge.
I mean, I have no issue with it. But, you know, here's the thing. Had Wyoming really been paying attention, they wouldn't have been confused at the beginning, because Cole McDonald is a – I don't know how else you say this – is a white quarterback, has blonde dreadlocks. And if you look at the video of number 13 going through warmups, there are no white dreadlocks coming out. That doesn't mean that he didn't go get them cut out, you know, cut off during the week. But, yeah, that could have been a tip-off right there that he wasn't the actual quarterback in his uniform. So, true freshman Siobhan Cordero, he looked pretty solid. He threw for 150 yards, two touchdowns. Is the Hawaii Warriors got a 17-13 win over Wyoming to improve to 6-1. I mean, we hear all the time, oh, I don't want to share who's hurt and who's not hurt because I don't want them knowing. You know, we made the case this week, Diesel, why doesn't Will Muschamp and the South Carolina Gamecocks, why don't they say, we don't know who's starting until Saturday? Now, the one difference in that is you're dealing with two upperclassmen. This was a true freshman versus a junior. But, again, if I'm South Carolina, I don't announce who's starting one bit. I don't have a problem with this in any way, shape, or form, Diesel, but I'm not sure I'd ever want to take it to this extreme either.
Yeah, I look at it, it's a little bit of a dirty move. You know, I guess you could look at it like that, but I mean, is it any different than having two guys with the same number on the roster?
It's true.
I mean, you see that all the time. There's only so many numbers, and for some reason, these two guys got to have the same numbers. So, you know, if you get backups in, these guys with duplicate numbers are getting on there.
One guy's on one side of the field warming up as a defensive back, while the other guy's over here on the other side of the field. It's not two number 13s back there in the quarterback rotation. But, again, you also got to protect the gamblers as well. Hawaii was 11.5 underdogs for that game against Wyoming and ended up turning it around, no doubt about it. So that was pretty cool. So that brings up, what have been other things that universities have done to each other when it comes to pulling off pranks? And you know what? There's a pretty good list of them. What's the way to put this? One of the biggest and dirtiest took place right here in the state of South Carolina. Back in the day, Clemson and South Carolina always got together on a Thursday down in Columbia. It was the Thursday of the state fair, and they called it Big Thursday. Woo! Wonder how long those advertising agencies spent coming up with that. But, all right, one year, Clemson's sitting there. Fans are in the stands. You know, everything's kind of quiet before the game's going on as they're getting ready for it. And here come the Clemson Tigers out on the field. And they proceed to go through warm-ups, and they can't catch a pass. They drop everything. They're fumbling all over themselves, this, that, and the other. And it turned out that it wasn't the Clemson football team out there on the field. It was the Sigma Nu fraternity from the University of South Carolina dressed up as Clemson football players. Do you realize the brawls and hell that broke loose after that was discovered, Diesel? I mean, there were people literally fighting themselves out of the stadium in Columbia.
Question is, had they stolen jerseys or did they make replica jerseys?
I guess they made replica jerseys because it's not like you
That's actually an expensive prank to go out and get that many pairs of shoulder pads, pants, cleats, socks, jerseys, helmets, everything like that. That is a very elaborate prank, so props to them.
I am I am guessing, you know, we can go back and do the research. If somebody knows, give us a call, because at 520, we're open phones in the top of the 5 p.m. hour. I'm guessing that there had to be a high school involved locally that lent them the pads and all. And I'm guessing, being a Sigma Nu fraternity, that there was a high-stakes booster that probably laid some money down for this prank to go down. You know what I mean? Because it lives in infamy in 2018. You know, that might have been. We keep talking about what could be the deal that causes the college football playoff to finally expand. Well, that was one of the deals that caused the Clemson-South Carolina game to start going back and forth between the campuses. You know, at one point Clemson said, you know what, it doesn't benefit us any way, shape, or form to come down and play South Carolina in Columbia every year. So that was one of the things that helped sway that. But that is an all-time ruse. But guess what? There's plenty more of them. You can give us your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN. You got a few minutes to get in the 6 p.m. keyword. Again, that's balloon. You can text that in to 72881. And remember, we'll give you a 5 p.m. keyword and a 6 p.m. keyword in our WeFixMoney.com free stash cash contest, brought to you by Intercom Greenville and ESPN Upstate. $300,000 that Intercom is giving away during this contest. So you can't win it if you're not in it. Balloon at 72881. We'll give you the 5 p.m. keyword in the next hour. Our Dixie Vodka deep dive on Texas A&M as well. And we'll continue when we come back with some really cool pranks that have taken place in college athletics.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.